Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. I'd like to introduce my distinguished committee, Kirsten and Lois, if you'd please stand. Just not necessary. After numerous emails and telephone conversations and back and forth, and we recommend, in your packet, by the way, is a list of 20 potential questions, not necessarily to be used exactly the way they're worded. I like the way Jane worded her question to me this morning before the meeting started regarding the three important missions of the University of Minnesota. I think you might want to share that with us, Jane. But, this is basically for the new members, the five or six new members we have. It's a very interesting process. Each candidate comes in from the hallway, is introduced by a specific member of this council, taken around. And I think they have, 5 minutes, Dave? 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes, 2 to 3 minutes to introduce themselves. And
I think we have five minutes.
Mm-hmm. And the entire process takes 45 minutes, I believe, just short of an hour.
Yes.
And we want to get as many questions in as possible, but yet we don't want to, we want to insist that the candidate is informed that there's going to be 15 questions, for example, and answer your questions accordingly in respect to time. But in the end, we ask a question, and then what concerned us, and Lois and Kirsten, help me out here, if you will, when we read a question to the interviewee, there's follow-up questions. Ken may not like the complete answer that the interviewer gave, and so Ken would ask a question of that question number three. And Billy might not be satisfied completely, so she would ask a follow-up question. And in these probing or follow-up questions, I hope we're legal, if you will, because in some systems that I've been involved with, they want you specifically to ask that candidate precisely the same question you ask that candidate, and don't deviate from one word. So I just want to make the council totally aware of that.
Who does that?
Yeah. Well, the hiring systems within the Minsky systems, the different. And I always thought it to be I like this system far better.
Oh, yeah.
Our committee, we talked about this. We came up with 20 questions, basically. We solicited Dave's opinion, and he forwarded to us the presentation that some of the three of the regents made to us at our last meeting. Dave sent those to us. So we just felt it was a really daunting task and a very valuable part of this process, and we didn't want to say we're going to ask these questions and leave it at that. We really are soliciting your input, if you will, today. Lois and Kirsten. Kirsten had one that didn't get included in our possible questions of 20. We certainly should want to include that one as well. So our recommendation, Lois and Kirsten, would be that you help us select, and it can take just a few minutes. It can take as long as we want until we get the 10 or 15 or 18 questions we want. Questions, significant, important questions that we ask of these interviews. Select some of these 20 or 22 previous questions, and I don't think the changes, the die has been cast, if you will, as to how we're doing this, and we just want to make sure we have no wishy-washy candidates that slip through Arnie Carlson or Arnie's web of security here kind of thing. So
before these questions, we have the person present something about their own history and their own experiences, and then we also ask them questions about that. Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes you find out more what you want to find out by helping people not just give their canned biography speech, but, you know, probing more deeply about how that worked. Or,
well, Mr. Chairman, if I may, I would like to read just a sentence or two regarding proposed changes that it happened a couple of years, well, 06 here, a couple of years ago. During one of the interviewee post-interview questioning, he or she, it doesn't reveal, felt very strongly that they were blindsided, and that's the word is used, because many questions were not covered, many of the questions that were asked during the interview were not covered in the possible questions we mailed them previously. Well, personally, I think the person better have a little more depth than that, and you better be prepared to be blindsided or not. We didn't intentionally blindside, but I think it came from this, the follow-up questions I mentioned earlier.
We want to blindside them.
And we had no intention of blindsiding anyone, that I don't think. But we certainly want to eliminate that type of a shallow applicant, if you will. Mm-hmm. So this is the our recommendation is to identify 15, 18 questions and then agree on the follow-up process of answering these questions and the probing, whichever word you want to use.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah.
Sir.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I'd like to add a little context here. Okay. I think we're attaching significance to a process that doesn't exist, and I think we're what this is for is to help people prepare, and it's to help people who are members of our commission who need a little help in figuring out what questions to ask. Other than that, it's open season, and we can ask anything we want of anybody.
Right. And we should be able to.
I think if there are 50 questions, that's just fine. Well, people will be better prepared and so on. But I don't think what it says or how it says it is even important.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with that point of view. I think that these questions are here to be of assistance to us. I don't think we need to cut it down to 15 or 10 or 12. I think these are illustrative and we'll have good judgment about which of them we want to use in terms of what we're interested in. I noticed over the years we always will be sure we cover certain critical issues. One year it was intercollegiate athletics. I see that question is still here. and it's always a pertinent question, but I remember it came to the surface, you know, the last time around because of issues that were then prevailing at the university. But it seems to me we always probe the mission question. We always push that. And we always talk about where is the university going to go, what are its key strengths, what are its big challenges. I mean, those are categories that we almost explore every year with every candidate, and I expect we will again.
Okay. Billy? Well, I'm concurring with Paul 100%, and both Pauls. My earliest experience on this, and I can't remember if it was this or the trustees for Minsky, but at that one time, there was a set series of questions, predetermined, which were asked by the chairman, and it was stultifying. It revealed nothing, and there was an open revolt, and that chairman was gone, and the whole procedure changed. I mean, that was a deadly thing. I learned a great deal from that, and the way we're doing it, I think, really works.
It's far more effective.
Yes.
Sonia.
Okay. I apologize if we were asked to add questions earlier. I didn't respond if that was true. But I think we should add something that tests their understanding of the global economy. And maybe you've got something down here that I'm not reading carefully enough, but maybe something about how to... Number seven.
How can universities become more effective partner in economic development in a state and global economy?
Yeah, and I think maybe it's also how can we better position the university in a complicated global economy in regard to funding and students and faculty. I think that it would be useful to have them think creatively, granted in a very short period of time, so that we know, are they going to be prepared to come as a region be able to think like that? And I don't, the wording isn't so important. I just wanted to add an area of emphasis or emphasize an area you already have.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jane.
I think for the incumbent regents, I think they really need to spend some time on the state's economy.
Mm-hmm.
and the federal economy and the university budget and figure out where their priorities are going to be. Among those, we mentioned the three-legged stool, education, outreach, and research for the land-grant institution. I mean, they're going to have a tremendous problem. So that's number one. What are they? Where are their priorities in this budget year? And then number two, the issue of the president is going to be an important one. But at first, they have to figure out their priorities. And are they, where are they going to find their money? Raise the tuition again? Raise some more fees? You know, and the global economy is really good, but right now because they have to look at that from a policy standpoint going forward. But they also have to pay really good attention to where they're going to make cuts and where their priorities are.
Speaking of it, Mr. Chairman, when is the president's term up? I know that these next batch will be among those who choose.
It would be 2011. I think the incumbent has indicated he would not care to serve
beyond
2011.
Okay.
You know, I would like to put in a plug for sort of a more of a Tim Russert style of, particularly with the incumbents. In other words, if we would have an opportunity to look at some of the things they have said, so that rather than, you know, in the applications also, so many of these questions for the applicants cover things that they've covered in their application. Mm-hmm. So rather than asking this again, if we could spend some time looking more carefully and deconstructing those, you know, whether it's conflict of interest or something else, what they have said, you know, and ask some more probing questions, because we kind of stay on the more superficial level if we just start with the first, if we don't already assume we know some of that stuff. And for people who have served for a term, we already can have some information about what they've done and what they've said about precisely what Jane is talking about. But, you know, just, I mean, anybody can come up with some lofty statements about how we're going to balance the budget or what we're going to do. But if you, you know, try to go to the second or third level and ask them harder questions, then we've got to have some more information about what they have said previously about all of these issues.
Okay. Joe had a question here.
Well, Lois and I think Dave plays a very important role in reminding the interviewee he or she has 45 minutes. Schedule or word your answers accordingly, time your answers accordingly, because there's considerable probing follow-up questions once he or she gives their answer. And I think it's incumbent upon the 24 of us not to be redundant in respect for the interviewee for that 45 minutes only. And I don't think we go over 45 minutes, do we? It's pretty, maybe 50 minutes at max.
Well,
is it 50 minutes?
In 2005, we had 20 minutes each, apparently. Right.
We can set up what we want. It depends a little bit on how many we select.
45 minutes is a long time.
We've never done that.
No. Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's not about
okay. Lois?
Going to what Paul said and what Sylvia just said about the probing piece of what they have already given us. This is an opportunity to say what might you be asked.
A guide.
And it, in light of the broadside comment that we've already agreed doesn't bother us too much, it might make sense to simply have an item as an intro here that there will be follow-on questions and there will be questions pertaining to answers that you have previously given that in your application or something along those lines.
And so questions that, beyond this.
Right, right.
Yeah. Just a disclaimer kind of lead-in so that anybody who does think questions will be limited
Mr.
to this
Chair.
Because they may have Minsky-type experience, for example, won't feel as though.
Mr. Chair.
Jane, you had a question?
No, I was going to say my concern is that the emphasis has been largely on research and some of that has been at the expense of the education piece and some of it at the expense of the outreach. And that would be for incumbent regents mostly, but you would ask applicants for it. Do they understand the three-legged stool of the land-grant institution and how they are supposed to be equal in their emphasis and expenditures, and I think that's probably where the incumbents might be.
We always ask that question. I don't think.
Pardon?
I said we always ask that question. Okay. I think if we had a transcript of the questions that we've asked, we always ask that question. I don't know if we ask it in a probing enough way or ask incumbent regents how they have actually played out, you know, supporting those various aspects of the mission.
Paul.
So that's what I'm talking about.
In the past, our practice has been not to send out this list of possible questions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Right.
No,
right. All we've sent out is you may be asked questions in these areas because we wanted to discover in the course of the interview how well people think on their feet and how they respond somewhat creatively to questions that we bring to the table that they may not have anticipated.
I like that.
We don't send out any possible questions.
Mr. Chairman, if the council doesn't want to do this, I intend to do it. In regard to incumbents, why are you smiling, Mr. Chair?
Take us away.
In regard to incumbents, I intend to ask them to discuss areas in which they have disagreed with the administration and led real change. Mm-hmm. In other words, not just be a rubber stamp. Mm-hmm. And I also want them to discuss circumstances in which they have gone to the president of the board to counsel with him. I want not to probe and get information, but I would like to them to be able to explain how they perform that function of advice to the president, either to the president directly or through the chairman. And you know, otherwise they're just a sack of flour there, and I think that may be our way of getting at some of those things you were talking about, Madam.
Yeah,
Jane.
Sylvia.
Well, I just don't want them to feel too good. That's all. But you'll take care of that. So,
Sylvia, did you mean that we should not ask that question? It strikes me that that is more important than ever now because they're going to have to do prioritization. And they're either going to have to say, we don't have enough money to fill those three research buildings we're planning, or how are you going to get the money to do it? Is it going to come out from the students? But, I mean, do you mean we shouldn't ask that then?
I'm just saying we should go ask that in the context of things they've said and what their various records have been on those areas. And we don't have to use the word three-legged stool.
Mr. Chairman, what is that body of work that our colleague is referring to from which we can get at that?
Transcripts of meetings, votes, those are all public, aren't they?
Are the meetings actually, are they transcribed or are they on tape?
I mean, what have we got to work with?
That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking.
I'm really curious. I mean, if we get these people up there and then we have no idea. I mean, these people have records, so rather than just interviewing them, if we have a chance to, you know, do some research on their records. I mean, I ask other regents, frankly, you know, people I know, and they've all said they've all, the incumbents, the people that I respect who are on the Board of Regents are, and the other people at the university who I speak to tell me that they're all doing a good job, but I don't know particularly.
Do we end up, Mr. Chairman, with an apples and oranges review process if we march too far down that?
You know, you are right in it, but it seems to me it's sort of an awkward kind of thing to treat the person who has had experience doing this and the people who are coming in the same way and expect them to be able to speak as knowledgeably about the university and what the issues are.
I think that's most certainly true, that we can recognize the unevenness of the playing field from that perspective. But
Mr. Chair, I think that very substance makes the point of having rote questions immaterial, because you're not going to ask the same question of the incumbent mm-hmm. that you're going to ask as a rookie. But you're going to have a rookie in there sometime if you're going to have an incumbent.
Sonia.
Well, I think in reference to the uneven playing field, the incumbents come in with a distinct advantage, and I would think they should be asked the kinds of questions that dig deeply at how they have acted and what they would do. And so it's uneven, but it seems appropriately uneven.
Paul had a comment.
You know, maybe the But by the way, I just don't think there exists a body of work. I think there's minutes, right. And the minutes are just a series of motions, right. and votes and so on. I think they reveal little, if anything. I'm sorry to say, I'm not aware that there's anything else. I think, however, in regard to the incumbents, if we could take one more whack at my suggestion, maybe we frame a series of questions for those incumbents and tell them we expect in their presentation to address these issues.
What they did in certain circumstances, and not just what they think, but what they did.
Right.
Two different
mm-hmm.
things.
No, precisely, and that's what I was trying to get at before mm-hmm. in my first comment. Mm-hmm. And because I think that what we're trying to do is get accountability.
Right. Including yeah. James' issue, so that could be certainly for them something that they should
indeed.
Be prepared to talk about.
Yeah, I mean it's the law of the nation that they're supposed to be following. Well, let's be clear about that. James,
can you submit the wording of your question to the chairman in the event you're not here one of the days during the interview for whatever reason? Put your money where your mouth is. In other words, there, Paul.
Harry, you had a comment.
Yes. Along that line, we know what we need to determine. We need to find the best people. And we know that there are some questions that are going to come up over and over and over again, because they always do. Is there any reason we could not expand their opening from, I don't know, what are we doing, 5, 7 minutes to 9 or 10, and include these key points, have them address these points, and then all of our follow-up pertain to... Not all, but mm-hmm. most of our follow-up pertain to those. You know, I think we do want them to think on their feet. We want to see how they think. But I think that something so important as this, you know, a regent, hopefully, is not going to walk into a meeting unprepared and have to think on their feet about a major decision.
Mm-hmm. But we don't want them to repeat what they put in the application.
Right.
That's what it seems to happen again and again.
Well, I think what's in the application is this little. And what we need to hear is this big. And so are there, you know, we talked about the global economy. We talked about the three-legged stool. We've talked about the president. You know, what are realistically the 5 key things that they're going to face? And should we be focusing our effort predominantly there other than, you know, how do you feel about this, that, or the other?
Berg, you had a question.
I would just like to suggest that I know the president's election is going to be a big issue, and that's very, very important, but I would not like to see us really spend a lot of time as looking at the board as a selection committee, and this is one of their duties. I think there's so many things other than the selection of the president that we better not spend 20 minutes of an interview on mm-hmm. how he's going to select the president. So I think we need to not overemphasize that, because I think all these other issues are much bigger than what the president has something to do about it. I just had an experience with Cornell University that way. The president has nothing to do with it. It's a major issue, and we need to talk about all these other issues in addition to what the selection of the president.
Paul?
I was going to say, in my experience, the opening statements, I think we've usually been, especially after about the third interview, we've all been very eager for them to finish their statement so we could get down to the issue. Mm-hmm. And I'm not in favor of a longer statement. Mm-hmm. I'm in favor of the sort of statement in which we ask them, why do you think we should select you as a member of the Board of Regents? And then to hear them out on that, that's prepared. And then we can drill down on those issues that we think are especially critical at this moment in the history of the university, and we get to hear them extemporize on those matters.
Yeah.
Paul.
Mr. Chair.
Amen.
Paul, I'd like to probe a little deeper in what you were saying there. Were you suggesting that my idea had less value than I thought it did? Because maybe you're right. And I'm serious, yeah. Because I was actually going to suggest that you and I and a couple of people get to put our heads together and exchange some emails and see if we couldn't figure out something for us to send those sitting regents to provoke the kind of discussion and comment from them that we seek. But maybe that's not a value.
Yeah.
Feeding them unequally.
Well, I think it's a value. I'm a little uneasy about not having a level playing ground for all the opening statements. Mm-hmm. I'm a little
can't.
Yeah, but why don't we then broaden it to include everybody that so that it does. We're going to ask these questions of sitting regents how they did. How would you propose you would handle this to the other side? I mean, that knife can cut both ways.
It's low.
In some ways, instead of going the step where we ask the question that's probing, isn't there a fair amount learned by how far the sitting regent chooses to go? Because they have this wealth of experience. They have the wealth of knowledge. They know full well what they did. And if they don't show a strength of character that puts that on the table, isn't that informative?
Well, I don't disagree with what you want to accomplish. I mean, I think you're right on that we do need to elicit that kind of insight from sitting regents and other candidates. I'm just not sure about the mode.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah. Maybe we just each of us trying to figure out how we're going to do it and ask.
Sure, let's do it independently.
Yeah. You know, but what I'm trying, if we ask them for that kind of accountability in advance, I think we're going to get more thoughtful response and more interesting response. And we can't be accused of blindsiding. I mean, it is a real difference. We've never asked this before.
Yeah. Okay. Kirsten had a question. Oh, sorry.
Maybe this is simplistic, and as a new member to the board, I might be off base here, but I'm wondering what is the extent to which we emphasize the need to pair any kind of answers to questions with examples. And I wonder if in the materials we send to the regents and to all of the candidates, you know, to the extent that you, to make that very clear to them that that's an expectation, that when you're saying this is how I deal with issues, you will be evaluated on the examples you provide. And obviously a regent is going to be drawing from a depth of experience that someone else could have other kinds of experiences with. But, you know, the extent to which they're able to say, this is what I did as a regent, and this is how I think it was good or challenging, whatever provides real insight.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I tend to agree a little bit here with Paul. You know, we want individuals on the board. You know, if you got a 12-person board and they all agree all the time, you can get rid of 11 of them. If we try to pound these people into a mold that we make here, that's exactly what we're going to get. And I'm looking for a little diversity. And not only that, if you've been on a board for the president selection, you're probably going to have two or three regents do the main work on that, and because the rest of them are busy doing other things.
Maybe one.
And maybe even one, just one of them. And I like those opening statements. And I just thought of one that we got a few years ago. If you remember Chalstrom, his first words to this group were, we asked him, well, what does a regent do? He said, well, you go to a meeting, you make a motion to fire the president, and if it passes, you go home. Or, I mean, if it fails, you go home. And if you've been on a bunch of boards, you know, a lot of boards really ought to take that to heart, because they sit there and debate and debate and debate, and
nothing comes of it. And it's the president and the help that, that he surrounds himself, which makes it a good university. And you have to have that dissonance in any board where and this has come up before in this group that you have to have the dissonance in order to get the good decisions, and whether they're a tie or by one or they're lopsided or whatever it is, this is the direction we're going to go, but we're all aiming in the same direction.
You know, I just want to make a comment, not that I want to cut off debate, but we do have an agenda to move along as well. It sounds to me like, Joe, a lot of great ideas have come up, and maybe there's a little bit more work that the committee could do around these thoughts. I think some of us have taken some notes, and I know Sally has excellent notes on everything that's been said here. Perhaps what we could do is encourage an expansion of the committee and do some work between now and the end of the year and circulate something that we can look at. I'll just give my own personal reflection after reading through 31 resumes. I saw a lot of people that said, oh, the economy is a problem. And, you know, tell me something I don't see on the 6 o'clock news. We really need to find out what have you done in your past that reflects on what you can do in the future. And what do you want to do with the university? Even though you may not be, thoroughly ingrained in what the university's problems are and what the solutions might be, give us your opinion about what this is. And I have to admit, as one member of this council, I was starting to think, well, maybe we should just send them all the questions, just to tell them it's going to be a free-for-all, but here are some examples of questions you could be asked, and so you might want to think about them. Then I thought, well, maybe we shouldn't send them any questions at all and just tell them, come ready for whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think we have a consensus on the council around those issues, but I offer those thoughts, and perhaps the committee can come back with some suggestions, not only on whether we provide questions, but what questions, and move on.
I'd be interested in what the chair says, but I would almost move saying that it'll be a wide-ranging interview, all focused on the University of Minnesota and its priorities and its operation and your understanding of what the board would be.
And that's it.
And that's it.
That's all they need.
No questions.
I mean, we...
And by the way, somebody had mentioned a past chair that apparently was a little more regimented. As far as I'm concerned, everybody on here is an equal, and you have to have a chance to ask your question.
That was Minsky.
Oh, Minsky. I couldn't remember. I serve on both, and I couldn't. But it was ghastly, let me tell you.
But can you appreciate what we've kind of wrestled with as a threesome? And
good job.
I think you should have the Pauls on your
okay
on your committee.
Well, hey, I'll just open up anybody want to volunteer besides Paul and Paul and Joanne. Okay.
Joanne wants. Jane, do you want?
I was going to say I'd make a motion that we send a statement saying that it's a wide-ranging interview focusing on the university. You've got it more than I do, and rather than send individual questions, just say, be prepared with your understanding of the university, where it fits in higher education, the Board of Regents, and what you see your role, and then just leave it at that and not send questions
prior.
Yeah,
but I just moved that.
That's a motion.
Vote it up or down.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Discussion? Yeah.
Yes, Bill.
Yeah, I don't think that's necessary, Jane. I mean, if they're not smart enough to know they're applying for the University of Minnesota Regent when they come to talk to us, why are we all wasting our time? I think that that kind of an outline, it belittles our own intelligence, and it might even do the same to ours. I mean, we're all adults. They know what they're applying for. And I think I just don't see the necessity for it, Jane.
Well, I guess it all depends on how detailed we get, because you're going to send them a letter saying, here's your time for your interview, and then you just a line or two, however you want to do that. But I'm just saying, then what it's doing is eliminating sending out individual questions.
Yeah,
the motion's doing so.
I would firmly reject the idea of sending individual questions. we need to know how they can think on their feet here with the questions. And they've got anybody who is any good at all will have given a lot of thought to what they believe about the university before they appear before us.
We're on the same side of the issue.
Pardon?
We're on the same side.
Yeah, we're on the same side. Okay. I'm done.
Well, I guess, Mr. Chairman, in closing, don't throw your possible questions away.
No.
I think it's going to probably boil down to, during the interviews, each of us are going to kind of ask our own questions because we didn't like the answer that they gave in just a minute ago, kind of thing. So,
is there further debate on the motion?
One other statement I'd like to make. I like Paul's idea that we need to really find out what the regents have done, the incumbents have done. So I think this is, you know, they're in front of a 25-person firing squad here, and some of those rifles ought to really zero in on records. Mm-hmm. And if they can do that from the floor, then we don't need to put anything on paper.
Well, you know, once in a while something shows up. Actually, the media actually does once in a while cover issues, and I suppose somebody could Google and find out what particularly when a region has gone against the prevailing, you know, the administration. I think that would show up.
You know, there are people who monitor this that we could talk to. I mean, my pal David Levidoff, for instance, though he hasn't been a regent in years, stays close to the university, is aware of issues, finds himself at the residence of the president several times a year saying, you better and don't you dare. There's some network of people. There always are around these institutions who care about them and so on. What other people are there like that? What are those fancy professors called? The Regents professors or the State Senate?
Mark Rotenberg. I mean, there are a number of
people. No,
he
works for the president.
But he has an agenda. So then, but I mean, what I'm saying is you get people from this point of view and from that point of view, and you get some idea of how
Who are some of those people? How can we get this out? I agree with you. I'm on your side. But who are some of those people?
Who here now has been at a Regents meeting this year? Uh-huh. Okay, well, you guys can report how all these people have done.
Yes, Sonia.
My first impression sitting through a long meeting was that there was almost no creative questioning on the part of any regent beyond the agenda that was being presented. And I walked away thinking, I wonder where that comes from, or if I just happened to be at a particular meeting that was so heavy with presentation that there was little substantive creative questioning or discussion. Now, that's one meeting only.
Yeah, but is it taking place at those committee meetings? I mean,
maybe.
If you look at the agendas, all it is receiving reports of committees and acting on it.
Right.
So
that's all behind-the-scenes stuff you want.
Once in a while, there's some controversy. Yeah.
And I think even one of our applicants described it as committee-dominated organization.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it is. You look at the agenda.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Isn't there an action
list? We have
an action list for the Board of Regents for the year. The recorder come up with what these are accomplishments, and if we had that, and then find out how each of these people looked at those issues. I don't know. Maybe that doesn't exist. It must be recorded someplace.
If I may, the Board of Regents does do an annual assessment of its performance, and I think they do that in the. I'm looking at Sally at the July time frame, so it might be somewhat dated, but I think they did one this last summer.
Is that public information?
I don't know that it's public, but I think that we have asked for that in the past and have received it. I haven't seen it, but we'll make sure we have it.
Let's ask for the last two.
Yeah. Can we do that? Okay, we will do that. And again, we'll find out if it's confidential. If it is, we will just caution us not to distribute that. I'm sure that we can have that for our perusal. But there is a motion on the floor, and the motion, I'm going to butcher this, but I'm going to try it, and that is that we simply put a description of what it is we're trying to do, and that is select regents for the University of Minnesota, and you should come prepared to talk about that. It'll be a little more elaborate than that, Jane.
That's
I'm not going to share recipes.
But there will not be a set of questions that we put out here, and I'm going to interpret this as that the questions that we have in front of us are really for our use and reference.
Okay.
Yes, Kirsten.
Can I make a quick amendment to the motion or proposal? That we also make some specific allusion. I'm back to my examples thing. I just feel like people, it's so easy for people to go one level too high and to talk in broad generalizations. If we make it very specific, to the extent that you're able to illustrate what your arguments are for why you should be a regent with specific examples of past performance, I hope that's not insulting their intelligence. I just feel like it's good to articulate, because then it might be more likely that we receive that information.
That's the amendment was that we'll just make a general statement. Your motion, personally, I think if I interpret this correct, a corollary to that is that be prepared to talk about why you would make a good regent.
You don't need to amend it.
And use specific examples.
I would incorporate it in our amendment.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. Second it, then you don't
okay.
Amend it.
Very good. Then it's an accepted addition.
Good.
There you are. And I hope you're getting this down, Sally, because we're going to have to wordsmith this a little bit. Okay? Any further discussion concerning the motion? Okay. Not hearing any. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Okay. The ayes have it.
Aye.
Whoops.
As opposed.
But I called before you called for the vote. I asked, could we read the motion? Because I may have misinterpreted whether it was a yay or no.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear that
that's
part.
That's okay.
But
that's all right.
We'll go. Well,
no. It's passed.
It's
right now, the chair is in doubt. So let's do this. Let's try to restate the motion.
Yeah.
And I'm very inadequate to do this, but I'm going to give it a shot.
Jane.
Okay.
The motion is the Jane motion, amended by the Kirsten amendment. Mm-hmm. And as I understand, it would be as follows, that we notify the candidates to be interviewed that they will be asked about why they want to be a regent and to give specific examples of how they can accomplish that particular position.
There's more in Jane's piece.
Yeah. What was the additions?
I had a little bit broader, but Sally will have it. But it's essentially, we're not sending the individual questions.
That's so all Jane cares about.
That's right.
Don't send the guy.
I think I remember now the part is be prepared to have a wide range of questions from 24 very active individuals who are egomaniacs, okay?
Oh, well, then I support. I thought it was giving them a
that's
whole...
Good.
Okay. At one point we said, don't
do that word.
Yes, and what was that word, Joe, we mentioned earlier? Probing question.
Probing.
And okay.
Be prepared to be comfortable because you're going to be probed.
Right. Well, for one thing, I think it should be worded, and we'll word it and maybe pass it around as well to the group, but I want to make sure what we're doing is just something other than a recitation of the 6 o'clock news.
Yes.
Right.
No. Yes. Okay. Then I'll change.
No. So does that give you a sense of the motion, Billy?
Yeah. I had it the opposite, you see. So. I had it sitting out there. Anyway.
Okay. Any further discussion on the motion? Because we're going to try this again. Well, those
it passed.
It did, but the motion, the chair was in doubt, and he's probably still in doubt. But let's go with it again. I'm going to ask for the vote again for the removal of doubt. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
That's
easy. See, now I'm not in doubt.
Okay. I have to pay closer attention.
Time for restatement.
I know.
We'll talk.
I'll work it.
Okay. The next item... Mm-hmm. If everyone's done with this particular item, Joe, are you satisfied?
I'm.
You're not going to wait it.
No.
Down
Thank you. Thank you for your work.
That's great.
The committee, excellent committee.
You got.
Okay, the next item is references. Paul.
Yes, the set of recommendations on procedure was reviewed by Pat Duncanson, Lois Josephson, and myself. It represents no change from our previous policy of recommendations. So it is before you. I think as I look at the agenda, when we get to item 7 or item 6, we talk about procedures and assignments. That may be the place to look at this in more detail.
Mr. Chairman.
All right. Yes.
I have a problem with the first bullet. I feel as a member of this body that I have a right, indeed a duty, to make any checks on anybody I care to and to report them, and I don't feel in the least bit and will not be confined by any recommendation to the contrary.
Okay, your comment.
What are the recommendations to the contrary?
Well, one person do the checking. Anybody can check anybody they want to check.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be under number 6, however, right?
Well, I the first bullet there. The sub-bullet there, I don't know.
Mr. Chair, if I may, I think this has to do with the formal assignment of one person to make sure we get this job done. It was not intended to preclude the kind of informal.
I just wanted to make that clear.
That's correct, and I think that has enriched our work in the past, that other people have had other sources of information about individuals that are brought to the table at that time. So this really applies only to the kind of formal assignment that we make for background work.
And my concern has always been that to do it at the last moment rather than before the interviews is not helpful because you don't have a chance for them to, they don't have a chance if somebody has some concerns for those to be addressed directly so that if it's faulty information or can be interpreted differently, they have a chance to present their case. So, which means, of course, that we have to be prepared before each of the interviews for the person who has those, who's done that formal references.
I think in some ways the heart of this set of recommendations is that we do check with some or all of the references provided, but that we go beyond that, that we try to get other ideas about names of people familiar with the person's work, that we do some deeper digging in background. At least in my experience, that's always been helpful.
Right. No, I'm not suggesting that. All I'm suggesting if we wait and present it after the interview rather than before, so that if I'm interviewing somebody and with one set of information and then the person who's done this research, after they're all through speaking, says, you know, well, he's really an axe murderer, but, you know, and then I said I didn't have a chance to ask about that. I just think that it would be appropriate for whoever does the research to share it before the interview.
Very good point.
I was going to make Paul's point, but I'd like to reinforce it. I mean, all these people have called people and told them, may I use you as a reference? Yeah. And teed them all up. It isn't worth anything. I haven't gotten ever any information worth anything, hardly ever, from calling people and references. Right. I figure out what boards they've been on and so on.
We've always done that.
But I mean, that's where you really get the information.
That's right.
Yeah, not on this canned stuff.
Joanne, did you have a comment?
No, I would say no. In some of the interviews, I got information that wasn't positive from some of the people
from
that.
References.
Yes.
Yeah. I think
and of course, and they trusted that this would be again kept confidential. And
some of these people Patrick. Have the same, people, so that you can say, hey, you have now recommended these three people. Which one do you like the best?
Okay. Patrick, I guess I found it helpful. To use the references as a lead on and try to get other references, especially if I get somebody who I don't have any connection with, which actually sometimes is a big advantage, to use the references that they provided to, okay, who else should I call?
And if I recall, the procedure actually encourages, Paul, that you go outside the normal reference listing that is given.
And Google is wonderful.
Okay, we do have a procedure. I had two questions, if you don't mind, Mr. Chair.
And then pass it to her when you're.
And this is a controversial question. I think I know the answer, but I wanted to make sure that it was addressed at least. Is that should forms be used to get these references, and should the forms then be copied and made available to the group for consideration?
We're not recommending that. We've intended this to be of use to the individual in doing the background work. We've not recommended that it be put into a format and shared with everybody.
Okay. And then a second question: is there reimbursement for long distance calls? Oh, don't think so. The staff says.
No, I would think so.
Oh, would think so.
I would think so. Yes.
Okay. So there is reimbursement for long distance.
But you can't fly out and right. interview all members of the family who are now living in Florida.
Okay. Any further discussion?
On yes, this document, then, Mr. Chairman, should it be at least one to satisfy your question that we don't want to pin it down just to one person to check on these people? There, you got one listed twice there, and you could put at least one.
Sure, that's
that would open it up.
At least.
Yeah.
That's a suggestion, Paul, for this committee?
That's fine.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Going to Sylvia's question about the rehash, not being a rehash, but a prehash of the candidate, so that we have the feedback from the interview prior to doing, from these reference checks prior to doing the interview. To me, we wouldn't have to do what was just recommended, because what we're doing is having a given person who is on the line to share that data, and then if there's others who are sharing something, that's all well and good. But we're not saying that we're going to have any more than one person on the line to say that checks out.
Prejudice is the interview.
How could it prejudice the interview?
Well,
if it prejudices it afterwards, I can remember a particular person.
I remember you just went into orbit. You haven't gotten over it yet.
I sure haven't. It was not fair, because if it happens after and it's not, you have no idea. Actually, we have no idea. The problem is that we have no way of vetting some of the information that comes out also.
That's a very good point, Sylvia. I'm a party in that, and I concur with you wholeheartedly.
I would like to point out, at least the procedure is that in executive session prior to beginning interviews is when we're going to go over the references. So there will be precious little time to follow up on something.
And it's not a problem.
And all I was saying is that multiple people can share at that point if they have something to share, but there's only one person that's on the line to cover information.
Yeah, this procedure is meant to guarantee that there is a fairly in-depth review of each person. Okay. Yep.
It's all on the budget.
And, Paul, do you recommend that we actually formally adopt these recommendations?
I do.
Okay. So I'm taking it in the form of a motion.
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
And with the amendment that we are inserting the at least
yes.
one member into the equation. Okay, any further discussion?
Just a comment that we will identify the one that is expected to at least make that prior to that.
Yeah. Yes, it's one of the objectionable parts of the recommendation is that they say the chair has to appoint people. So I'm not. But we'll discuss that once we get the applicants determined here today. I'll probably ask for volunteers for that.
Right.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor? Say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Okay. Thank you, Paul. Next item is document review, and nobody volunteered for this committee. In your packet, you'll find three letters. They're really from this committee, but there are draft letters that would be going out after today's meeting. Actually, there are two letters. One is a letter advising the candidate that they were not selected for the interview. One indicating to the candidate that they were selected and here's the time and place to have the interview. And then the third is actually a press release that would go out. Since this is a public process, the applicants we choose for interviews are going to be made public, and I think they were told that in the application process. So this should be expected. And if you have any comments or concerns or tweaking on that, it's welcome to do that, although drafting by committee generally fails.
Well,
yes,
one
Paul.
Comment would be that the amount, the length of the interview, it says 45 minutes. It probably won't be, so I think that should be amended at whatever point the schedule is determined.
And you're saying that, Paul, because it depends on how many people we have to interview?
Yeah, and I don't think we've done 45-minute interviews for a long time.
To anybody that long.
No. So I think if you look back at the schedule, for example, the 06 schedule is here. It's apparent that we only did 20 minutes a person.
Might I suggest this? Because this is actually the same thing that kind of went out last 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We could say up to 45 minutes.
Yeah. Well, have we scheduled people 45 minutes?
It was a 15-minute, 45.
Yeah, we scheduled one every hour.
So it was a 45-minute interview. Because when we had a 10-minute break.
A letter.
Given the discussion on the questions we were asking, I suggest that we may want to leave a little bit of room. So up to 45 minutes, but maybe we'll tweak the letter and make sure that they're aware that this could be a lesser time because of the and then we can adjust it as we need to.
Weird. Are we going to ask the candidates to arrive early, perhaps, if we want to move things along? Are they instructed to be here at a particular time before the interview process?
They're usually asked to be here at a specific time. And as a matter of fact, I might suggest that we put in here that they should show up early, like 15 minutes before that time, so we're sure we can roll along.
Right.
But Mr. Chairman, even taking it a step further, there has been a time where cancellation occurred, and we tried to get a hold of that person, so if they could give us their cell phone or a number that we could reach them.
That would be a good idea.
Because otherwise we're sitting, there's a dead hour there, and we could have, and maybe it's on the application, but just reiterate that maybe.
Okay. Very good. We'll make some adjustments to this and then
just tweak. Like
we'll send it out, as to say, tomorrow, I think, is probably the date we'd send it out. Yes, Paul.
I think the last go-around we altered the schedule somewhat because we did reference checks in a different format than we did in 06. So.
Okay.
Or 05, I'm sorry.
These are great comments. Thank you. I don't think we have to adopt these, but we'll take your comments and act appropriately. We're inappropriately, 102.
And then pass it on to people.
Candidate orientation we have next. Ken?
Mr. Chairman, my colleagues, Billy Young, Dick Ista, he's not here today, and Bill Brady and Anthony Bianco, we've come up with a date for the orientation. Maybe I should fill in for some of the newer members here. What the orientation committee does is sort of a postnatal care of our candidates after we've chosen them, to give them some idea of what they can expect when they go to the legislature. The last round, the governor did the appointing, and that was not necessary, so there really was not much of an orientation in, what was it, 2007 or 2006. So we are going to go back to the system that we used back in 2003 and 2005, and the date is going to be Thursday, January 15th from 1 to 3:30. Now, at one time, they also had a reception and a formal reception over by the governor's office, but that was not very well attended, so we probably will not have that. But the session from 1 to 3:30, we invite legislators or the education committee or any other interest that people can come in and hear the presentation. And in general, we cover the following topics. We have a welcome by the chairman and a legislative perspective, which gives the candidate an opportunity to be addressed by the legislature. We used Lyndon Carlson and a number of other people here. Let me see. Bob Vanosik. And then we got a history of the university and the regents and their duties, and the other and the next one is promoting your candidacy at the legislature. Questions and answers. We're going to have a bunch of incumbents here, so they're going to be kind of familiar with this. But some candidates come in with hardly any idea of the lobbying that they're going to have to do in the legislature if they're going to carry their candidacy forward. And that was the primary reason for this committee to be organized in the first place. And then we also have an opportunity from the University of Alumni perspective. Margaret Carlson will not be able to attend this year because she's going to be out of state. But there will be someone from the Alumni Association. And we will be having a now the next step is we have to find speakers in order to do the program, and some of the program is depends on exactly who we get as speaker. We're talking about Arne Carlson, maybe, and a few other ideas. And when that comes about, you will be notified. Any questions?
And if I may, Ken, there's materials in your packet that are from the 2003 orientation to give you an idea of where this is going. Okay, very good. Any questions? Thank you, Ken. Appreciate it. We have also in your packet the some selection procedures. These are last revised in 2001. I think in preparation for today, we really haven't gone through to revise any of this. And frankly, I've read through it and thought that we just throw it open to the floor here. But these are the procedures we've used in the past for the purpose of selecting finalists. And this would be a procedure we might use today if you adopt this procedure. That's in part one of the selection procedures in the packet. Part two is the selection procedures for a selection of individuals that we then would choose in January to recommend to the legislature. And I don't know if people have had a chance to review this in advance of today. It's in there, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there any changes, Mr. Chairman?
There are no we are making no recommended changes, or I'm not at this point. There was no
It's the same thing
it's
we've
the
had.
Same thing we've had. That's correct.
I move its adoption, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Second. Is there any discussion? There's one historical question I would like to ask, perhaps, of those who have been on the council for some time. But it does talk in a couple of sections here about selection by ballot, that members would be asked to vote for up to four nominees for each open position. My presumption in reading that is that there's no bullet balloting. Is that accurate?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so. I mean, it's up to four. I mean, what if we don't think they're?
Yeah.
It's up to four. It's
up
not
to
exceed four.
I guess what I'm wondering about is that you can't put all your four votes with one candidate.
No.
Okay, you have to vote for individual nominees.
At least one individual.
Mm-hmm. Okay. At least one or up to four, but you can't take four votes and pile them on
one
candidate.
No way.
I think that's implied, but I wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
Only in Chicago.
You there?
Yeah, only in Chicago.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay, there's a motion to.
Even if he's dead.
There's a motion to adopt the selection procedures for this round. Everyone say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Nobody says no. All right. Thank you.
For the gallery.
The next process is really the reason we're here today, and that is to select the interviewees that we'd like to select. Oops, you want a break?
You need a copy.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's a motion for a break.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would ask that we not do that because Jennifer will only be here till 11, and I'd like her to be able to cast her ballot.
I actually have to.
Noon.
Yeah, right now.
right now?
We're going to wait.
So I apologize. I want to be a part of the discussion. What I did was I gave Joanne, I've known Joanne for years, so I gave her a list of my kind of top candidates. And my purview, just so you all know, is I have about 10 years' experience in issues of diversity and access to higher education. So that's kind of the lens and the people who've stood out. I hope you can just include those names when the discussion comes up about that person, that you would include the names that I've listed as well for that purpose. Some people, with the global economy question, I must say, I was very disappointed on the issue of diversity when that question was asked. I mean, I think a couple of applicants mm-hmm. actually said, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were like physicists or, you know, amazing thinkers. In a global age, you have to know. You know, you have to be very competent about how Minnesota is changing demographically speaking. And I really looked through that lens. So I hope you take that list seriously. And I apologize. But I've blocked the 3 days for interviews. It's a very exciting process for me to be a part of.
If we forego a five-minute break, would you be able to stay for some of the debate?
I think I just have to get going. It's the St. Paul site. I'm sorry, Minneapolis site, so right. Parking and all that.
Well, then in that case, let's take a five-minute break.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Good idea.
Thank you.
Can I pass that out?
You abandoned me. I'm lost now. Why don't we start here? You've already... She's redrafting a little bit. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to mention to George when I see him next.
Very good guy.
Do we break for lunch?
Okay, what do we need to do here? May check up the four nominees for each open seat.
Is this the place to eat?
No, it's been eliminated.
Oh, right in there.
Fill in the whole box.
Main floor.
You may check up two.
Yeah, the amigos. Yeah, it's good. I eat there a lot.
Oh, good. 31 of them.
Dr. Yamada's for specific examples.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's okay.
We're gonna start up again. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I'm supposed to use my gavel.
We can only vote for four, but can we interview more than four?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
What was that? We can interview more than four. We vote for up to four.
This is just District 1.
Yeah. And we're going to vote by, I think that the indication here is we're going to vote by district because that's where the ballot says. But
there's just only
six. But we can, if the body so chooses, we can actually interview as many as we would like, which is a motion to interview everybody, Sylvia, is in order, actually, if you want to do that.
We would say
no.
I don't want to.
Let's be discerning here.
I do not
right.
like real. To make motions that are defeated. So.
Near campus.
I wouldn't do that. But
okay.
It just did seem to me that there aren't that many of these people. Okay.
Well, our suggestion is that we do this by district, starting with the first congressional district. The numbers of the applicants are on the ballot, and I think each of you should have a copy of the individual applications before you.
We do.
So at this point, I think the only next thing to do is to vote. Is there a discussion about any of the individual applicants?
Yeah, I would just... just speaking with my own bias, I would vote for 2, 4, and 20 and would eliminate 7 and 18. And the specific that settled me quite firmly in rejecting 18 was the comment that there were not enough white farm kids enrolling in the university.
Yeah.
And
I didn't understand that.
Well, I didn't either, but I didn't really want to go any further with it. And there were other reasons for rejecting, in my mind, 20, but that sealed it. And I also felt that number 7 was not qualified. I think I'm not the only opinion, you know, a differing opinion. Pardon? So I go 2, 4, and 20. That's not in District 1.
31 is in District 1.
Yeah. Well, I beg your pardon. I don't have it.
How do you say it?
My application.
Time out. He's a farmer and a teacher.
Yeah. I have an extra one, Billy.
I somehow did not print that one off, so that's my error.
Just
I've got
yes.
it in file.
Oh, Thatcher.
You just got it.
It would be in order, but I'm trying to get a sense of the council. Should we just agree to have interviews on sitting regents?
That's why don't I make that motion?
You mean in each of these districts, the three applicants are sitting?
Yeah.
All right.
We got to interview.
Yeah, right.
Is that a motion?
I make that motion.
Second.
No, I would add 31 to the list.
There's a motion. There's a motion on the floor that we simply pass for interviews the three sitting regents who have reapplied.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a discussion around that?
Second. Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Does that mean that that's included in the four, or we have the incumbent plus four?
No. Just that they're one of the
they're
four.
They're always in the four.
But
like
when you're
the ace on the bingo card.
Can you cast actually five votes?
Right.
No.
Excuse me, I wasn't quite sure I heard that, but I want a sense of where we were at. If, in fact, we get to a ballot where we've already selected the incumbent for interview, we can still vote for up to four on that particular ballot.
Right.
Is that the sense of the motion?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So it's why if there's an incumbent.
You can vote up to four, and then you also have the incumbent. So, in effect, you'd be voting for five.
Right.
Up to five.
Voting for five? You mean
It will still be to four, but we will have already taken care of the
three more.
I just okay.
Up to three.
So
up to
that was
three.
My question.
Okay. The sense of and I'm trying to clarify. The sense of the motion is that in any district where we've already voted for the incumbent, we then vote up to three additional.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay, I would add that to my motion.
Yes, Lois.
So are we in a motion scenario?
Because we're discussing the motion, yes.
Okay, then I have something after the motion.
Okay.
Why don't we vote on it?
Okay, any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Lois.
My comment is a follow-on to Billy's, and she and I have discussed it already.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I have another general subject before we get into the candidates. Kenneth Nelson Dayton poisoned the well 50 years ago when I started on this commission of saying anybody who is going to 70 years old certainly shouldn't be considered. My perspective having changed on that matter, and slight.
I thought somebody. I don't know why I did. I printed them all off.
As society's view on that subject,
I printed them one off, but I didn't.
Has changed. Do we feel still guided by that, or do we need to talk about it, or should I just shut up and we move on to Billy's?
The latter.
The latter. I'm sorry. I withdraw.
The latter. Okay. As I recall, our selection criteria, Billy is chair of that committee, there was no age limitation on any of this.
No.
And I wanted to say that for the record to make sure that.
Yes.
Okay.
We aren't discriminating. We're breaking the law.
That's right. Since I am in a protected class status myself, I want to make sure we clarify that.
The comment that I was going to make is moot because the majority of the ballots have already been collected. So
good. Stick up.
There's no need to.
No. There are more. Obviously, a neat guy.
Make a mistake here.
Well, they're counting the ballots.
No, there's some more to be picked up.
But everybody's voted?
No.
Here we go.
Two.
Four ballots.
Another one over here.
Where's my ballot?
How am I voting? Thank you.
There's another.
How many voting?
Four.
Okay.
Second for those ballots.
No, I don't. Oh, yeah. It's just
that one.
We're not going to have any discussion about
it. Well, I think we are.
Sally, do we have a mechanism to check incorrect or violated ballots? Or?
I want a contested ballot.
Contested ballot.
I think we have a contested ballot.
Yeah, I don't know the name of the
Are there any Chads?
Yeah, and no, we're past the hanging Chad. That was one of the old ones.
But aren't we going to?
Thanks. Thank you, Jose.
If four people come up with heads, and then this isn't going to go on all day.
20, 31.
There.
Are all the ballots in? Okay. Mm-hmm. While they're voting, there's no reason we can't be perusing the next batch.
Yeah, okay, let's
go. Yeah. It's the big bunch.
And I assume we'll go to...
Is there any more? Did everybody hand theirs in?
Yep.
Got them all?
So which one do
So the next district, I think, would be the 4th Congressional District, which is the large batch. So I'll open the floor to discussion or comments about anyone in the 4th Congressional District who has made an application.
I have a question about who's not on the list. Sylvia, did the incumbent decide not to apply again?
The incumbent? Yes. It was, I never had a direct conversation until recently with him, and clearly his wife and whatever, he has no, there were people who thought he wanted to, but he apparently...
Okay.
Right. Misled them. So that turned out not. That was a non-issue. Now both David and I met with Deason. Do you want to say anything about him as a candidate?
Just to back up just 1 minute to David Metzen. I actually heard that he might be interested in applying.
Yeah.
So I did call him up and talk to him about it. He said he was being encouraged by a number of people to apply, but
right.
as Sylvia said, he had family issues. He didn't live in the district,
yeah.
and he'd have to move, and he would consider it, but he did not apply.
But he did encourage, and he told me when I talked to him a couple days ago, he told me that he had encouraged Anita Pampus to apply, and I'm sure lots of people here
did
have worked
she?
With her.
Yeah.
I would like to speak to Anita.
Let's use numbers, not names. Numbers,
yeah.
not names.
Numbers, oh, yeah. not names.
Use numbers.
It's okay. There's nobody
yeah.
here.
She'd be.
Well, we don't have anybody.
Or recording.
Yeah.
That's right. Paul makes a good point, is that this is a public forum, and we should be using the numbers on the applications rather than individual names. But, Billy, you had wanted to speak to one of the applicants.
I will speak to number 14 as being, I personally know, an extraordinarily qualified individual, energetic, highly regarded, independent-minded, has a person of, she can give you examples of her accomplishments. Number 14.
Second. I second that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And... are there any other comments?
Do you want to say anything about number 10?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the numbers.
Number 10 is a person
yes.
that we, David and I, have both served on a board with, number 10 also. And
number 10, yes, go ahead.
He's a medical person.
Doctor.
I hate not using names. He's a doctor. So you've probably all seen his, and he's somebody that, you know, for me was sort of an acquired taste as someone to work on a board with, but that might have been more my issue than his. He was, I hate to use the word rigid, but he was more rigid than I am, but that's probably a good thing. I think he's a very hardworking and a very competent board member. Maybe David can...
No,
I can
speak to number 10
yeah,
as
eight
well.
Or 10. I mean,
number 10.
Can we use the name here to clarify? Because this was the 8 or 10 mix-up.
No, but it's 10.
Dr. 10.
Yeah, there were two. I guess an 8 came out.
Southern doctor.
Southern doctor. The
well, then that's not the same name I got.
I don't either.
It's from Roseville. Yeah, what had previous, the mix-up we had earlier is that the number 8 application
she has a
came in.
Yeah, my doctor, I mean, the person I'm looking at that's number 10 is not the person she's referring
yeah.
to.
Okay. I'm gonna violate all sorts of things. I'm just going to say the first name is Blanton.
Blanton.
Yeah. Right, that's my number 10.
For Blanton.
Initials are BB.
BB. Initials BB.
Right.
Blanton is the first name.
My number 10.
10, and it's
the same person.
Well, take a look.
Steven.
Yeah, you have to throw away that number 10.
Sally's grabbing it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that is not the correct number 10.
Do you have Blanton Messenger? Do you remember him at all?
There were
chair.
We
I would like to just make a comment on number 24. I've worked with him professionally for at least my 6 years as mayor, and extremely competent, very professional, and would make just an outstanding regent.
What number is that?
Number 24.
24.
Printing out the ones I like.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, and I think there's a few of us here that don't have the correct number 10.
Right. Sally's going to get it right
24.
Now. So we're going to correct that momentarily.
But do they not even have the application?
I do not.
No. I don't have 24.
No. What had occurred is that initially in the process, the number 8 application was put into the file twice, both in the position number 8 and position number 10.
Mm-hmm.
So we withdrew the number 8 from that slot and plugged in this BB one as the number 10 application. I think that's where the mix-up is.
So you left 8-8 and left that in the file.
8-8 is in the file.
Throw away 10 and made a new 10?
Yes.
Okay, and we're waiting to get a new 10?
Okay. Right. That's correct.
Oh, no, what
is that? Is that BB?
You've got
2 8s. 10?
Yes. 10 would be BB.
Yeah. I'm weird. Why? I don't have it.
A what?
Oh.
Because I carefully printed it.
And it's these selfies, and it's all about him. And
what?
Okay. Well, I can speak to the new 10, although we might want to revisit this when people get the application. I found this individual is rather rules-based. He follows procedures. But the thing that I liked about working with this individual, I was on a board with him, as Sylvia has been, is that he's a guy who speaks his mind. He doesn't hold any punches. He doesn't care about the administration or management. He's going to ask the questions that he wants to ask, and he expects the answer. So he's not one to sit on his hands and wait for the management to spoon feed. He's going to be bringing up his own ideas and driving the agenda. And frankly, well, he exacerbated me on more than a few occasions. I found it to be a refreshing change from just sitting there watching the wheels turn, which means, he is kind of a antagonist.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
About him? I don't know him, but I think often when people are like that, they're very self-oriented, and this guy may not be. I mean, did you see in your board work with him that he was mission-focused and focused on the organization?
Yep.
In my experience,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that's a distinct difference because sometimes people make a lot of noise.
He's worked on Ready for K and is, absolutely good. Committed to those issues.
Okay.
If I might add another candidate, as no one else has a comment right now, but number 25 is an individual that I've known off and on for many years. He's a banker, and frankly, when I think about the University of Minnesota, we could use some finance people involved.
I had
to be honest.
I'm sorry, Mr.
Number 25.
I had a note on him.
I knew him very early in both our careers. He was more involved in politics than he is today, but he's very involved in the community. He runs the community bank in St. Paul. A part of his mission is to make sure that as a community bank, he's connected to the community personally and has been involved in the Alumni Association, I know, very heavily.
Mm-hmm. And he was a disciple of George Latimer.
Yes, he was on George Latimer's staff.
A disciple.
From the financial perspective, for those of you who know number 17, would that be strength coming into the picture from that point of view as well?
Yes.
Mayor, are you going to speak to number 24?
I already did.
You did.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're getting you the correct copies of number 10, but the copier jammed, of course. So
always, when you need it most.
Do you want my number 10?
Well, should we go ahead and do some of the others then?
Let's do number.
Let's go to six.
Should we go to the sixth and the seventh if that, you know, if we're.
Yeah, move on to the.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I can't even remember her name, but she said she left comments about candidates in relation to diversity, but I don't.
Did she have comments, Joanne?
She didn't know.
There's my name.
No. She stated basically what they were.
Just wrote the name.
She doesn't get to vote.
No, but I just don't, I didn't, I don't know if anybody saw this.
But I wanted to clarify that she is voting, at least in this first ballot.
What?
Okay.
She is voting. You don't have to be here to vote?
No, the rules say you can vote by mail, and we're accepting this as
all
mail.
Right, so she's voting then for those people. Okay.
Okay, are we almost any other comments concerning the district, congressional district four candidates?
I thought we moved on to number six. Chairman, until we can get the application. I thought that was the sense of the.
That is my sense, too, right, since you stated it. Why don't we put four to the side for just a moment until we get that other applicant?
Mm-hmm.
Seems appropriate.
Yeah, she did.
Okay, come on. I mean,
thank you.
Can't vote for it.
So we'll move on to Congressional District 6.
Okay.
And that packet is in front of you. Are there any comments concerning any of the candidates?
I've certainly worked with Catherine Roberts, and I'm sure
a number
also.
But number.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did it again. Yep. Number five.
Thank you.
Number five, who was at the zoo, ran the zoo, and then she was at the Minneapolis Foundation for a rather short time while I was on the board of the Minneapolis Foundation. And then she went to the sports facilities, and so you have worked with her there?
Madam, I've recruited her.
Well, there you go. Then you probably are her big.
And she's now the CEO advocate of one of the major elder living mm-hmm. development companies in the country.
So the fact that she didn't get along with Emmett Carson.
He's the only
not,
woman in that category, too.
All right. Well.
And I want to remind people on this ballot that we have already elected number three.
Yes.
Okay.
And that we're voting up to three additional. Okay. Any other comments concerning?
All right. I think number nine has had a lot of good governance experience, certainly would bring a global view, knows the area well.
Yes, that was an impressive.
I would also support that, Paul, in that he also applied a couple of times ago, and his interest is still strong for the
Number
University
nine?
Of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to speak to number 28, the last candidate, with his involvement in the development aspects, formerly at the University of Minnesota, knows development fundraising in a very large way. He's also worked with U.S. Trust Banks. And I think as we're looking at finances and how the university can do something different, this would be a great asset to bring to the board as well.
What do you think about that? That's the person who's on the state fair board?
Yes.
Number 28, yeah.
I've always been fascinated with the state fair board.
Well,
they get to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Oh.
There you go.
I take that as
that
a compliment, I guess.
Where did I miss
Lois.
I'm interested in the liquor commission.
Not the state fair board.
Right. Yeah. Lois, you had a comment?
You know, they think that they'll have as much power in the region as being at the state fair board.
Okay, number 10.
Number 10.
Who needs the
10.
10, yeah. Number 6.
Here's the number six.
Notes of
number
one.
What do you want now? Six.
Oh, I'm just.
Oh,
okay. Yes. Funny.
I do.
No, I like.
Why is he on the foundation? As a board member.
If it's a.
Thank you.
Ten. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Fallout or difficulty of getting
yeah,
the meeting of a
no, I've got it.
Oh, yes, number five, right. But I have a ballot.
I may need a 10, too.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
She, I can use a pronoun. She has a very strong reputation. She's had,
If you guys are sharing, Lois and Sylvia, if you're sharing information about candidate, we should probably all try to hear it.
Yeah. I thought we were just saying.
There's somebody that's great you're talking about?
No, I
in the beginning
was,
of the conversation, Sylvia had referenced number five.
Yeah.
And then in conversation with Paul, was referenced to the leaving of a position because of a difference of opinion.
Because of the executive director. The executive director is someone that other people have had problems working with also. So it's not.
And this is number five, right?
No. It
negative
wasn't,
in terms of her.
No,
she
was just too strong to work with somebody who wouldn't give her any, cut her any slack, that's all.
If it's, I think the ballots are in for six in any event. If it's agreeable with the council, I would like to move on to number seven. While people have a chance to look at candidate number 10, then we'll circle back. So if there's no objection, why don't we have a discussion about candidates in Congressional District 7? And again, I remind us that we have already elected one individual who is an incumbent
number six.
Regent, and I think, is that number six, Joe? Did you have that?
Right. No, we haven't done four yet.
Number six has already been elected, already been chosen, a chosen one, so we elect up to three additional, or select up to.
I would like to mention number 29. Being from that little town in northwest Minnesota, this is
really
a small businessman. And it says among our criteria, we have to have diversity of occupations. And he has been active, of course, at the state level in the high school league and the school board association and one other one. And his take on the biggest problem being an excellent education at an affordable price struck my heart. And that's what you get out in the heartland. And I'd love to at least see him interviewed.
That was number what?
What number?
29. Oh, I would support that as well. Yeah. I know I've served on boards with him, and he's a very low-key individual, but has served on a lot of boards, and he's got aspirations to run for the House of Representatives in the future.
Does anybody have any objection to interviewing all five members of the seventh?
No, I didn't. Just read second.
It just would be easier than voting.
Yeah.
I think there's some people you would blackball here or you would not wish to have.
Yeah, is there anybody that's there's a negative on?
I didn't see a great
number 19.
Anybody standing out?
I put a negative on number 19.
Number 19.
Yeah, I did. Is there a reason?
Well, I didn't even print it off. It was.
Make a motion.
Didn't want to lick the ink. I have Sylvia's problem there, and that is that there may be some gold in them. There are hills that we can't that isn't discernible.
I really wouldn't mind revisiting the way the first district went in that case because the conversation, Billy had an opportunity to very strongly make comments that are highly similar to what, or contrary to what we're talking about right now about gold and then their hills. And I wanted to counter those, didn't get a chance to before the majority of the ballots were collected. And now we're moving in the direction that I would have asked us to go in the first district. And so I, you know.
You can make a motion to revisit.
Okay, I would like
nothing
to.
But wait a minute, let's finish.
We don't have the ballots from the first either. We don't know what the outcome of the first ballot is at this point.
Well, we have ballots on the 7th.
Well, we don't have ballots on the 7th yet, and it's probably just as well given the comments we have here, so we have a chance to go through this before people start voting. But why don't we finish this and then take up the issue with the first ballot?
Right. The point that is being made about gold and them their hills and small towns and things is that, yes, there is some wisdom that comes through from those environments, and they are not. It is not always substantiated by dossiers that are long in length and deep in nature either. And
I think that's worthy of consideration. That said, I did not happen in this particular instance to find it within my need to want to interview everybody within the seven.
Somebody is suggesting interview everybody, and she does.
Okay, sure.
Not in favor of that. Okay, Joanne, you have
a... I have similar comments. I only selected two out of this batch.
In the seven.
Right.
What did you just say?
I only selected two that I'm going to vote for.
Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and vote then, and I'll withdraw my suggestion, and we'll just go ahead and see who shows up over the transom.
I did have.
We don't have votes for seven, though, do we?
We don't have one.
We don't have them yet.
I did have one question concerning candidate 29. Bert, you had mentioned you had served with him. Excuse me for revealing at least a preference, but you've indicated he was low key. And my question would be, is the person who was low key strong enough to stand up against a spoon-fed agenda from management?
Not that low key.
I wouldn't say that he's... If there's an issue, he's going to speak up.
All right.
Maybe
he's not a rabble-rouser, and he's not going to be talking all the time. And when he speaks, people listen.
Okay, thank you.
Comment on 23. I do not know 23 personally, but spoke to someone who does, and they think highly of her ability, her capacity.
Wait a minute, what are you saying?
Number 23.
23, I had a reference to 23 that was very positive.
Good.
Okay, that's good to know.
Someone with legal background, right?
Right.
Okay. And by... Native of the region also, not just in the region at this point.
Good.
Mr. Chairman.
Any further comments? Yes.
Just a comment, a general comment about my observation from being from a small town. If you're not incredibly immersed in tons of activities and you're in a small town, you're not the type of person to be a region.
Yes.
Right. That's
because if you're in a small town and you have any talent at all, your talents will be stretched farther than you can possibly stretch them.
That's so true.
Supporting.
I'm not speaking to any candidate.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, as you review the list, if you're from a small town, your dossier should be longer.
Yes.
Yeah. The names maybe aren't as impressive.
Right. That's what I was attempting to get at.
Don't lose.
Or as familiar.
Right.
Thank you.
All right.
But if it's focused on about three issue areas and they're taking a lot of your time, you probably wouldn't.
Yep. But then you're going to be in those issue areas, and they're going to spider out, and you're going to be busy.
Because you're automatically going.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, are we ready to turn in our District 7 ballots?
District 7.
Hang on.
District 7.
There's three right here.
23.
23 and 29. Lois, maybe we can move on to the fourth and then go back to the first again.
Give us a chance to review the 10, number 10.
23, 29.
I beg your pardon?
Oh!
A chance to review number 10 for a minute.
I'd ask people, have people had a chance to review that applicant number 10?
No, I haven't had.
Yes.
I have a minute.
Thank you. Yeah.
Have you collected six?
We'll just take some time here.
One more.
It's false. Not mine, it's false.
Okay, we're going back to four, Mr. Chairman.
We've had a request to give a little bit more time for people to review that additional applicant. And what I might do while people are doing that, just keep things rolling along here, because I don't want to hurry anybody on that ballot. Maybe we can revisit, Lois, your interest in District 1. And could you repeat again what you would like to do?
Billy shared her comments that she felt there were two candidates who, in her observation, didn't rise to what they needed to rise to, and they could make an easy decision in District number 1. One of those candidates is a high school graduate, happens to be someone who has just negotiated a very controversial railroad all the way from southern Minnesota, and referenced the fact that they'd interfaced with 51 communities in the process of doing that. Knowing people who have served in positions of public authority for years and years, with considerable insight who have only high school educations, and who have only high school educations by virtue of what life allowed them to do. I would hope that we think very carefully about the fact that there is an awful lot to be learned in the school of hard knocks. And when a person recognizes the validity of an academic education and how much they wish they could have had it, they carry the inside of the school of hard knocks and a full respect for the realm in which they would like to serve. On the contrary, it is not uncommon for somebody who has had the privilege of full education to not ever have fully experienced the school of hard knocks. And so I would like us to think very carefully about discounting a lack of full educational background in our considerations.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Paul.
Of course, I think it would be wrong to do that, but are we speaking about the person that attempted to derail, if not destroy, the city of Rochester?
It's in the process.
I believe we are.
That's the person?
This is applicant number seven, I think.
Number seven.
Speaking of number seven.
Number seven. Mm-hmm. I'm not denying that piece. I'm just simply saying, as we make decisions, let's not make them solely on the basis of the academic factor. Mm-hmm.
I have a different question. Why did you say 18 was? You mentioned. Two of them.
I did 7 and 18. And 18. Well, there are several things, but I was perturbed at the expression that not enough white farm kids had applied to the university as being a problem. Okay. It showed a limited understanding of, I thought.
You mean we don't need more white farm kids?
I cannot interpret the individual's intent.
Yes. Sonia?
I don't know the person who is being spoken of, so I have
this is
no
number seven.
Comment about the person from Rochester that was being referred to. But recently, St. Mary's College had, as its president of the trustees, a man with just a high school education, mm-hmm. a remarkable person. Mm-hmm. And then they, in fact, gave him an honorary doctorate. And so I think, theoretically mm-hmm. anyway, we should be careful not to dismiss that person.
Is there a desire to reopen the balloting on District 1?
Could we see the results first?
You want to see results?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's see the results.
Well, before we see the results, why don't we circle back to number 4 so we can at least have this all rolled up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Has anybody had a chance to take a look at applicant number 10 and the other applicants as well?
Yes, one.
Are there any further comments concerning Congressional District 4 candidates?
I mean, he was from...
He graduated from Austin High School, but he lives in Wauseka or someplace.
Okay.
Worked for the railroad that goes through.
Okay.
Which negotiation is a very kind word for how they act.
I didn't want to go through my plan to find it, but I...
talking about the white farm kids.
Okay, you still balloting?
What? We're balloting for 4 now?
4.
Okay.
We already did.
Up to 4 and 4.
Yep.
No. Thank you so much.
It's an opportunity for diversity in
mm-hmm. Well, I'm hoping everybody's keeping that in mind.
I hadn't gone out to the site for a couple of days
there's
last night.
The wood number. Did you turn yours in?
Six more. Yeah.
We have all the numbers.
Oh, I got one was there, and although I'd gotten that one earlier. Whatever we do.
Yeah.
We've done them all.
Yeah. We've done the first ballot. It's got to be more than 50%.
You know,
Okay, that's. Do I made a. Oh, Justice. Oh, okay.
And Indian Farm.
What number is
it? All right.
Go a little farther south.
My 18. I may have marked it with my magic marker.
Well, yes.
Where's my procedures?
Yeah, that kind of intrigues. Oh, darn. Where is 18? Darn, well, I may have gotten these mixed up. Let me just dig yours. I think I marked it with a marker.
But I did not find it.
This is my procedures thing here. Where's that?
Is this yours? No.
So, Jane, have you done it? Jane.
Okay, I'm.
Jane.
Have you done any more?
I'm just reviewing one more time the.
Yes, she's.
The rules under which we're.
She has it.
The rules under which we're operating says a simple majority of those voting will qualify a nominee as a finalist. So it's people present and voting that are going to elect. And there are, I'm going to count, make sure I know how many people are here. And we have one person who stepped away as voting by proxy. So we have 19, so we need at least 10.
19 what?
19 people sitting here, so you need 10 votes in order to be passed on for nominee. So in the first district, we have Randy Simonson has 12.
Give numbers, will you?
Oh, sorry, number two. Forget what I said is somewhere out there. Number two has 12.
Oh, strategies and policies. Oh, yeah.
Number four, of course, is automatic. Number seven had one. Number 18 had one. Number 20 had 12. Number 31 has 15.
All right. So that's four then.
So we have actually four nominees. Okay. Now, that doesn't preclude us from adding if we wanted to do that.
That seems good. So clear there.
Way so out clear. I would move we accept those four.
I second.
All right. Moved and seconded.
To close four.
To close four, okay. Those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
So it was okay. A majority?
Yeah. A majority, yes. We had to have 10 or more votes. I see the, I don't have any of the others. We have none of the other results yet.
2, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4, 20, 30, 31, 32, 4
on to another agenda item while we're waiting?
No.
I mean, the procedures we adopted, and so there's really nothing to say. The only other thing we have to say is notification of interviewees, which we will do after we find out who they are.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Might it be easier if the same person who does the reference checks also does the notification, the phone call, courtesy phone call?
Not that. We want to call our friends.
Okay. Well, maybe.
Yeah. Billy apparently has a friend or two.
Apparently.
For those of you who have friends.
Yeah.
Billy, did you sneak a couple of your pals through here?
Yeah. No, I kept my mouth shut. No, I didn't. I spoke up for one, number 14.
Well, we're in a lull. I've got a housekeeping question. Mm-hmm. Is the Radisson acceptable to stay at during the interview process over by the university?
that's not too expensive? Or?
What's the
That's a place for university. People stay all the time.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
So do we get to come over to your place after the meeting?
Party at room 408.
Yes.
That's where the
bring
party
your own bottle.
That's going to be a lot handier.
That Paul's bathroom.
Want that
place.
Back?
Okay. They have government okay. rate over there, do they?
So the results of the uncontested balloting in the 6th Congressional District is number 3 is automatic. Number 5 has 16 votes. Number 9 has 15 votes. Number 15 has 5. 21 has 2. And 28 has 8.
So who are the 4 finalists?
Well, there are 3 finalists right now that were selected.
Yes.
Three, five,
I think
nine.
3 is enough.
Okay.
Second.
Second. Mm-hmm. Those in favor of closing, say aye.
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 Those opposed?
Aye.
Okay. I think the ayes have it. Those in favor of passing these on for interviews, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
Okay. Say the numbers, please. The 3.
The numbers to be in the 6th district are 3, 5, and 9.
Oh, good.
It's the phone and the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The results of the 7th I have as well. Number 6 has already been selected. Number 19 received 0 votes. 22 received 1 vote, 23, 17 votes, and 29, 16 votes.
I move we close the 7th.
Okay.
Second.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? And for formality, those in favor of passing on the 3, the following 6, 23, and 29, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Thank you. Okay, we have the results of the 4th Congressional District as follows. Number 8 has 3 votes, 10 has 9 votes, 11 has 3, 12 has 4, 13 has 3, 14 has 16 votes, 16 has 4, 17 has 3, 24 has 12, 25 has 12, 26 has 3, 27 has 1, 30 has 0. So we
That's
have three. The following have been selected then by reason of the ballot, number 14, 24, and 25.
I move we close the 4th.
14, 24.
And 25.
Get number 10?
10 was only got 9, and I think...
Oh, that's right.
They include, needed. I believe that...
We do have a motion, but is there a second to the motion?
Second.
All right. Okay, now discussion.
All right. It seems to me that this is the seat that most people applied for and the seat where there is not an incumbent. And I think that we should interview more than 4 people.
Is this one you personally recruited?
No, I didn't recruit.
Oh, I was wondering about that because if you did, we don't want to.
Well, but it's somebody that I would at least give the respect of interviewing. I feel pretty strongly about that, and it seems to me that maybe I don't know if we need to do another vote or what we need to do.
Is that number 10?
Number 10 she's talking about. Paul?
I think we could drop people off or something.
Just to put it to a vote, I'd amend the motion to include number 10.
Yeah.
There's been an amendment to include number 10.
Good.
Yeah, agreeable?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, what is the motion that is before the group?
I beg your pardon.
What is the motion that's in front of the group?
The motion is to close the balloting and effectively select the following four. Mm-hmm. It'd be number 10, number 14, number 24, and number 25.
Yes.
In addition to,
there's no.
He read it.
No income.
That's it. Just four. Just those four.
One, my dear.
Yeah, okay.
It's all over.
Yeah.
And I might add that
yes for an answer.
none of the remaining candidates received over four votes.
Yeah.
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 It's very clear. It's pretty clear.
Call for the question.
Okay. Somebody called the question. This is getting procedurally out of hand. The motion is to close the balloting officially. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Accept a motion to elect or select these people and pass them on. I hear a motion, a second.
Second.
Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
Okay.
All right. We have good. Our slate.
Good.
That's very good.
Good job.
Most of them we were in agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that leaves.
A few times we'll debate it, but and you may.
Four, three, yeah. And four, so.
Three.
12, 15 people.
Thank you very much.
We're not in 15
people.
My pleasure. We're leaving? We can leave, can't we?
Yeah.
There is one other order of business. Yes, we have to have people who will call each of these individuals. One person, I suggest, although others can call them too, but we want one person designated by the body to call each individual and advise them that they are have been selected for the interview, and we also need people to call those who are not selected. And I'll certainly do my... Oh, excuse me.
Do you just send them a letter, or do you call
them? We haven't called them.
We've not called them in the past?
We've never called the negatives, only the positives.
Just send a letter.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I was calling the negatives who weren't passed to the legislature last year then. Yeah. So.
No, I think we have.
We haven't called. Not that they weren't being interviewed. Only if they didn't.
Only
make
if they were chosen.
They weren't chosen.
No, we only told after. They were
only if they're chosen for an interview.
We told them, but before we didn't do it at this stage.
No.
We did it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, we at least need at this point 14 individuals or however many you'd like to call one of these individuals, and perhaps you could state the number of the candidate you would like to call.
Number four.
Whoops. We need to go slow enough so we can get this.
Number nine.
14, Young.
20.
Wait a minute. Our chairman can't go there.
Yeah, I'm not getting your names down. I'm going to start over in this corner.
Okay.
And state your...
I volunteer for number 10.
Number 10, okay.
Number 9.
Number 9 for Sonia, okay.
24.
24 is where?
I thought you called Jim Miller.
That's who it is.
Okay.
Four.
Now we can say the names because they're going to be public.
Number four is?
Patricia.
Mm-mm. Okay, and you're going to do that, Tony?
My former assistant.
Right.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to do this just a little bit differently because these numbers are all across the board. We have number two. Number two, okay. We have number four, number 20.
I will do that.
Okay. Number 31.
Another 31.
All right. Number nine is Sylvia.
Sonia.
Or 10. Or I was reading the vote count on that. It was... Number
10 is Sylvia.
14. 10 is Sylvia. 14?
Hi, Young.
All right. Now we know where her friend is.
Yeah.
Number 24.
Ardell.
We have Ardell. 25. I can call 25. I might as well do some work here.
Thanks.
Number 3. Okay. Number... Five.
Five.
Okay. Number nine.
Sonia.
Right. Number six.
I'll do that.
Can you? Okay. Number 23.
I can do that.
You're sure. Double duty? Okay. We know Paul's friends are.
Yeah, I don't. Friend of a friend, anyway.
29, okay. 29 is Jane. All right, now we've had discussion about whether we call or not the people who didn't get selected. We do have a letter that is going to go out, and if people think that's satisfactory, we'll just send the letter. All right?
You didn't read 29. I'll take 29.
Jane. 29. Jane was interested in calling
Jane.
That
well,
individual.
You can both call him.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't hear that, Jane.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
Is it our understanding that the staff will be sending letters to the successful ones along with their schedules so that we can inform that when we call them? Tell them the same.
Yes.
Yeah, there'll be a follow letter.
You want to would when you call them, just tell them I'll be calling them to set up an interview.
Okay.
Because then I'll wait to send a letter until after you've called them.
Okay.
And then I'll
call them tonight.
Their interview.
Do you want us to turn in the people who aren't?
Yes, because we will shred the people who
aren't
selected.
Okay. So let me do that.
Yeah. Per process.
Okay.
Sure.
I got to do that.
Okay.
We'll
do that.
We'll try and figure that out.
All right. The interviews themselves, we're meeting on the morning of the 7th, and I guess we'll send out a further notice on that, particularly since we aren't sure where we're going to be, except at McNamara Hall. Mm-hmm. As I recall in the past, we would get together in an executive session. We will go over references of the individuals, and we'll set some time aside for that. I assume we'll just use the same type of time frame we used in the past. But then we will have these scheduled interviews, and one individual from this body should be kind of in charge of going out in the hallway and just make sure that the individual feels welcome and that they escort them into the room.
Why don't we use the call people?
And that's a good suggestion.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The people who, as if you're willing to serve, mm-hmm. the people who made the call to tell them would be the person then that would... meet the person at the door and introduce them.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So at least we have that in order. And Jane, you've expressed a desire to talk about the motion that I butchered.
This is so really fast. We had our little committee that met by notes. And instead of sending out the list of questions in the letter that invites the people for an interview, there's a line here that will say, the subsequent portion of the interview will be a wide-ranging question and answer format, all focused on the University of Minnesota with specific examples of your experience and qualifications as a potential regent.
I don't think that'll do it.
Huh?
Why doesn't that surprise us?
Huh? No, I mean, first of all, we don't want it restricted. It's whatever's relevant.
Yeah. Okay. So I then mean, we'll just say, because we've already talked about this. We're just going to say a wide-ranging question and answer format, all focused on the University of Minnesota.
No.
Well, no, it isn't. No. I mean,
can't be all focused on the University of Minnesota.
No, it's not all focused on that. We're talking about people that have whole careers, and we're talking about what it is they learned in that experience and everything else. This
and
isn't all about
you.
We're talking about the meaning of
your
life
your
here.
Qualifications to serve as a member of the Board of Regents.
That's it. That's good. Right here. And your qualifications.
Mr. Chairman, I have a housekeeping or an admin
example.
Question. There's only 14 going to be interviewed.
Yes.
In 3 days.
So it's not going to take 3 days.
No. It's not gonna, my point is, for those who travel great distances, if we could be done close early as possible on Friday, I guess, is what would be the...
Wait a minute. Why don't we try and do it in 2 days?
Yeah.
We could do it in 2 days.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure.
Let's just rule out Friday.
Mm-hmm. And that's normally the way that we do it.
We have to vote the next morning.
But yeah. Mr. Chair.
It will depend a little bit on availability, so sooner we get calling people. And I think that Sally, you wanted to wait until people here had called individuals before you started scheduling.
If it works out.
But I suggest we do that as quickly as we can for busy schedules in the new year.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair?
Because I got gifts to wrap.
I thought only Billy had friends.
Yeah.
Well, I only have two friends, and one's out of town, but I got to get to
that. Sally, are we again taping this? The interview.
We'll get serious.
The interviews. Ken Albrecht, Mankato, Minnesota, you got to behave.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. There is
Mr. Chair, we still have to assign people to do the reference checks.
Yes.
Okay.
Item 6.
That's right. And as I recall, that we're going to do that by we're going to make that selection. I don't think the people who volunteered to call the individuals also agreed to do the reference checks. So we're going to pull this out again. And I'm just going to read down again the same numbers that we had previously and see if we can get people to do reference checks. And again, the procedure is the one that we adopted earlier, so I think that, Paul, if I recall correctly, you want to get as many references as we can, but at least three would be recommended.
Three minimum, yep.
Three minimum. Number two. Any volunteers do reference check?
Yeah, or just assign them.
Well,
I don't care.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm sorry, who was that?
I'll assign him. That was Patrick.
Yeah.
I'll assign it if we don't get volunteers. Patricia, or number four. Yes. Okay, Tony. Number 20. I beg your pardon?
Yeah.
Number 20?
Oh, somebody already. Oh, never mind. Yep. Didn't hear you. Go ahead.
Number 20?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. 31.
I'll do them both.
Do them both? 31?
Calling him and...
Oh, okay.
Keep it simple.
Number 10.
Oh, I'll do 10. Yeah.
Okay.
Doctor?
Number 14.
Do that one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
Why don't you take...
Well, I can do 14, too, if nobody else...
We have a volunteer. 24.
I'll do that as well.
All right. 25.
That was you.
Well, I'm going to call him, but I don't necessarily. I can certainly call references.
Well, I'll be happy to take another
that.
One. Sure.
I'll take that one. That's fine.
Oh, okay.
Number 3. Very. You want to try number 3? Okay. Number 5. Anyone interested in number 5? Joel. Great. Number 9.
I'll do that.
Right. Number 6.
I'll do 6.
Number 23.
I'll do that.
Oh. Okay. And 29.
I won't be here that week, so if you could do it, Jane, that would be great. I can help you with it.
Okay.
In the meantime.
And again, we apologize for the timing of this, but we sure want your input if you can get it, and we do have tapes. But I understand you're going to be busy that week. With that, the only other thing left on the agenda is really to request volunteers to attend upcoming board meetings. And they're listed at the bottom of the agenda. These are region meetings. And again, there isn't much we can do between now and the election time. February is the next meeting. But at the same time, it's a good way of monitoring whether we're being effective in this job by seeing how effective our selections might be on the board. Are there volunteers to attend some of the meetings coming up?
Mr. Chair, in that regard, do you think it would be helpful to try and get our colleagues to go to committee meetings to see if we can see something there?
Yes.
If we can find something actually happening, as opposed to just a run through the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, I was down for the fall board meetings, and my schedule was such that committee meetings
are what I actually was able to get to on one of the debates.
Was it revealing?
It was more so than
yeah.
the board.
Yeah.
A meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, with that, these are public meetings, by the way, so anybody can go, but is there somebody who would like to volunteer to go to one of these meetings coming up in the next year? Do you have one in mind? Try February?
I
definitely want to do June? Oh, I'll do February, but I won't do June.
How's that?
I'll do March.
Okay. March? Okay.
I can do March.
Okay. Any takers for April?
Is that right? I think it's...
I don't know.
April meeting? Someone want to head up? Okay.
I haven't left yet.
Then there's a May meeting. It's going to be beautiful out. Anyone for May? I'll sign up for May.
See, does anybody know this? Jane just was complaining about the fact that our students are expected to pay $50
per semester. That's correct. Do you know that?
Per semester to cover...
Help cover the stadium?
Stadium costs.
I don't know.
And I attended a meeting the other day saying that they had raised double what they needed. So it seems to me that...
Is there a motion?
No. I was just trying to see if anybody knew.
Good question. Okay. For the incumbents next week.
Indeed.
Next month.
She's going to check, too. But I'm quite sure that it's $50 per semester that was added on for every student. Just a reminder, too, as Paul said, that others can do background or other reference checks as well, besides those of us that got assigned.
Right.
The good old days.
Are we meet right here?
That's right.
Are we all set with this meeting?
Okay,
is there any other business? Hearing none. Motion to adjourn.
Just
good.
Time. Very good.
Okay. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Happy holidays.
7th of January.
Thank you.
104 with your car.
Oh.
Wow.
Here's some folders for you.
Okay.
In here.
Okay. I'll grab you another 10.
Doctor?
You made some shit. I think these are good.
Yeah, probably the next 2 days. They'll probably find out.
We poisoned that well already.
Can I bring him over here?
Thank you. When she said negotiate, that was a very kind word.
Okay.
Take this or it's getting worse. And of course, now they're Canadian Pacific. They're not even DM&E anymore.
Imagine the governor's got to be defensive.
Yes, everybody.
Yeah.
Are
we going to
be standing on that?
Yeah.
That was all part of it.
Okay. Am I in good shape? Okay.
On university near.
Get all the goods on your friend.
When I tried to integrate them.
Oh, hello. Thank you. I got to get these names all learned again.
Well, I don't know which way.
We did well.
How are you doing, Phil?
Tony Bianco.
Okay, Pat.
We'll miss you. That next meeting. You're going to be. You know, I wish I could be here.
Why?
But I just.
You know what? Good thing he's got me to watch over.
That works.
You're on the list.
Yeah, great place. You know where that is?
Yeah.
just down University, and it's on the left hand side. Yeah, it's got a sign. It's all clear as soon as I.
Well, it was Fisher sitting next to me.
He's number one.
No, I don't. Oh,
good.
Okay. Thank you.
Hopefully, we'll get it.
You weren't for
well, I didn't know either. Actually, I called back the office and said, based on this, I should be able to get back to hopefully what I need to sign.